The scripture reading today will be Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?
Independence, and the start of the American Revolutionary War of Independence from Great Britain. We like to celebrate our independence as a nation, and we also like to celebrate our independence as individuals. The Revolutionary War came about because of worries, and those worries led inevitably to the desire for independence from Great Britain. The worries of the late 1700s colonial Americans were excessive. Laws demonstrating British authority that took away the colonists' freedom, political corruption in England that was connected to the aristocracy, and the lack of colonial representation in the English Parliament. Today in America, we are not worried about independence, but we do have our worries nonetheless, don't we? And particularly in this time, we're worried about job creation and unemployment. We're worried about financial hardships and the national debt. We're worried about the recession and taxes. We're worried about health care and national security. We're worried about wars and retirement. And perhaps you could add to that list some other things. Some of these worries are constant, and some of them are cyclical. They just seem to come up over and over and over. But most of these are worries that every nation experiences at some point in time, and depending upon the particular country, all the time. So these worries are not new, and they're certainly not limited to us. Consider the Jews in first century Judea. They were worried about gaining independence from Roman rule. They were worried about heavy taxes. And they were worried about ungodly Roman culture that not only ruled them, but that also influenced their people. Jesus came to God's people, the Jews, in this environment of intense, stressful worry. In Matthew chapters 5 through 7, he called for them to stop being hypocritically religious and to conduct themselves in true godliness. Now, this was not true of all of the Jews. They weren't all conducting themselves in a hypocritical religious way. Certainly a lot of their leaders were, but even amongst them, there were those who were really pious and serious about their faith. But there was that existing within the Jewish leadership, and it had an influence and an impact upon Judaism. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 19 through 34, Jesus addressed how at least some of these leaders did versus how they must deal with their worries. And so, in verses 19 through 24, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Like the bulk of Matthew chapters 5 through 7, these verses present contrast between two states of mind. One of those states of mind is consumed with the material aspects of life, as in hoarding riches for ourselves. This person is independent from God, believing that they must take care of themselves during their life on this earth. Jesus is not prohibiting us in these verses from making sensible provision for the future. He wants us simply to understand that we must not become over-concerned with preparing for a worry-free future life on earth, because there is no such thing. We cannot adequately prepare for a worry-free life on this earth. There is always going to be something that happens that we cannot provide or prepare for. Certainly what happened in Japan earlier this year is a great case in point, but it's only one of how many that can come to mind. Christ-like people are concerned with preparing for their future in heaven. And so it is that we must focus on what is valuable to God, and that is living to reflect His character and His will. So Jesus calls for you and I to question what is most valuable to us, and as a result, to question and to realize that what is most valuable to us is what we give our whole selves to. Are we pursuing our lives in actuality independent of God? Our lives reflect our values. Our values reflect our choice. Our choice is between two treasures, two visions, two masters, two gods. Money, or the only true and living God. It's no wonder that Jesus makes such a point of the fact that we cannot serve both God and money. We have to make a choice. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 warns, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." To trust and depend upon people instead of upon God does something that is more potent than we may realize. It elevates the ability, the power, and the character of people like you and I above our limitations. And in fact, it puts us on an equal standing with God. Perhaps it even rises above that of God. But worst of all, it conceives of God as lacking adequate ability, adequate power, and adequate love to take care of us as His creation. Back in Matthew 6 and verses 25 through 30, Jesus reminds us of God's care of His creation. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" If we worry about physical necessities and the luxuries that we want and sometimes feel that we must have, it indicates that our entire existence is focused on and limited to those things. If these worries fill our minds, then we have no room left to devote to God. There's no room left to fill our minds with the knowledge of God's faithful, loving care of all of His creation. If you've read the Psalms, you know that within it are not only the writings of King David and his reflections on life and what he observed of life as a whole, but you find other writers who've contributed to those Psalms. You know, the Psalms were the worship book not only of the ancient Jews, but also the early church. And within those Psalms are not only Psalms where David and others would cry out for help from God in desperation, but there are also those Psalms that are written to glorify God for all that He does within the whole of His creation. And in very poetic language, they reflect how God provides for everything within His creation. And how in response, creation, even inanimate objects, have a way of responding to God. Just their very presence is not only their testimony to the power of God and the sustenance of God, but they reflect the glory and the majesty of God just within themselves. But those writers who wrote these Psalms that glorify God and His greatness could only do that because they stepped away from all of the worries and the concerns of life in its every day and every hour to fill their minds with the blessings and the glories of God. Since God has given us life and a body, He'll also provide what is necessary for our life and body. Worrying about these things shows that our attention and our dependence is upon ourselves and upon our abilities. It shows our lack of faith in God, our lack of faith in God's abilities, our lack of faith in God's love of us, and our lack of faith in God's commitment to us. It shows our independence from God because we really don't believe, when push comes to shove, that God really will take care of us. This does not mean that we should not work. The Bible emphatically teaches that we must work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 12 calls for Christians to work so as not to be dependent on anybody. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 10 stresses the ungodliness of laziness, saying, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." Jesus' point back here in Matthew 6 is that if we work as though everything depends upon us, then we make ourselves independent of God, and we deny His powerful, loving care of us. Worry is not only unproductive for us, since it has no power to accomplish anything. Worry is actually counterproductive. Worry creates cholesterol, ulcers, high blood pressure, and a generally miserable life, doesn't it? We create all of that when we worry. Do you realize that? Nobody worries and creates that within us. No thing out there worries and creates that within us. We worry. We create all of those things. Worry has no upsides. As Jesus chastises in Matthew 6 and verse 30, worry is a living testimony to our lack of faith in God. In contrast to that, Jesus says in verses 31 through 34, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Our desperate and typical questions, the ones that Jesus quotes here, show a spiritual immaturity that is a lack of knowledge and a lack of trust in God. Christians who ask such things really dishonor God. These are questions that pagans ask, people who do not know and people who reject God. Do we want to be among them? Is that how we want to be characterized by those who see us and hear us in the world? One theologian has made this comment. Jesus' disciples must live lives qualitatively different from those of people who have no trust in God's fatherly care and no fundamental goals beyond material things. We must replace self-focus with God-focus. We must depend upon God, believing that if we're focused on His will, God will provide for us what we need. And we have good reason for depending upon God. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and look at verses 13 through 15, God promised Israel that if they would obey Him, He would provide for them richly. And He did. Jesus reminded in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 that God provides everyone with all of their needs for life, whether those people are godly or evil. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, Jesus' follower Paul told ungodly people that God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. All of this from God and God alone. Our world is in upheaval. We don't know even about the near future in this country. We go from week to week with the stock market climbing like it did this past week and going the other way as it did in the few weeks prior to that. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the other. But worry is pointless because God in His grace provides everything we need daily. Depending upon ourselves, independent from God, is disastrous, both now and eternally. God is sovereign over all of His creation. That means God has control over everything throughout the universe and everything within it. If God did not provide for the well-being of everything in His creation, do you realize that God would dishonor Himself? God unable to take care of what He's created? God unwilling to take care of what He's created? God uncaring about what He's created? Of course God will provide for all that we need. That's His job. That's His job. Our job is to seek first or to focus our attention on God's kingdom and God's righteousness as we depend upon Him to take care of us. Jesus is simply saying here, folks, if you do your job, God will do His job. Trust Him. You don't have to worry. Is that what you're seeking? God's kingdom and God's righteousness? Or are you trying to serve two masters, God and money? If you're ready to make the choice of God and of God's vision and of God's treasures, of God's righteousness and God's kingdom, if you're ready to make the choice for God and to serve Him alone, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.
Have you been?